all the great universities in America, just about, were founded by Christians for Christian purposes. All the big ones, Harvard, William & Mary, Yale, Dartmouth, Princeton, and so on. The original model of Harvard, for example, was, in Latin, truth for Christ and the church. But today, a Christian student college may lose his faith while going to college, including even at state schools. Recently, a longtime professional counselor, including work among some college students who's also been a college professor, Dr. Gary Lovejoy, has written a book geared toward helping students preserve their faith in college. The book is called In the Lion's Den. And Dr. Gary Lovejoy joins us now. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. Dr. Lovejoy, thank you so much for being with us.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
Sure. Sure. Gary, tell us about your background.
Yes. Well, I spent over 30 years as a professor of psychology at the college level. I taught world religions and New Testament and Old Testament as well. And this is in a secular campus, which was unusual. I was one of a few, very few Christian professors on campus. And in addition to that, I had a private counseling practice for 40 years. So I've had quite an experience on both sides of the aisle. But in that relationship as a professor, I had many students who came to me, some of whom I did not have as students per se, but they knew I was a Christian. They would come to me after they had left their philosophy class, because our philosophy professor was an ardent atheist, actually came from a evangelical background, believe it or not, but he threw it out on himself. He went to college and left the faith, then became a strong antagonist of Christianity and took a particularly perverse delight in slicing and dicing Christian students in his classes. He would ask them questions and they would be flummoxed and wouldn't know what to say and how to respond. And oftentimes they were humiliated in the class. And so they would come running to my office, and some of them were in tears. Others were just livid and angry because they'd been humiliated for their peers. Others were just heartbroken because they had no answer. And they said, well, gee, you know, he's got his PhD, he knows all this stuff. I guess maybe what I believe is not true. And they were like, I could see that they were very much like sheep ushered to the slaughter, because they were unprepared for what they were to encounter. And many of them weren't really able to give a cogent reason for what they believe. And they were just, in fact, they were unfamiliar with most of the arguments. They shared the arguments with me, and most of those arguments were very debunkable, but they were unaware of that. And so they began questioning their own faith. And fortunately, I was able to work with them and help them solidify their faith, but also give them some responses if should they be confronted again in the classroom of how they can respond, because and they were grateful for that. But I came to the conclusion that many of them are just not prepared for what they're likely to encounter with their Marxist professors and their atheist professors. And many of them are Marxists, believe it or not, and it's increased over the years. They entered the academic scene in about 100 years ago, but they've increased in their voice in recent years. And I think, and they, of course, have been part of the wave of wokeism, of critical race theory, of critical justice theory, all the various kinds of DEI, that sort of thing. And they are completely unprepared for that. And they don't understand it. And they don't understand, and more importantly, they don't understand their faith.
So we've switched over. Now when you say they, you're talking about obviously students coming in, that kind of thing. Yeah, go ahead.
Right. And I was asked to speak at a church retreat several years ago. And at the end of that retreat, they asked me if I would mind speaking to some parents whose college-age children had left the faith. They'd gone off to college, listen to the professors, be convinced by their arguments, and they chucked their faith. And they were brokenhearted. And so he said, would you talk to them? And I said, fine, I would be happy to do that. And I expected a small group that would gather together, and we'd have a little Q&A together. But when I walked in the room, and it was a large classroom, very large room, and it was packed to capacity, standing room only. That's how many parents. There were probably 50 to 60 parents in that room. And all of them had lost a daughter or a son to atheism. And all had lost it during their college years. And I began to realize just how widespread this problem is. It was shocking to me to see how many people were there. And this is just from one church. And so I began to research it and began to discover that this trend of giving up your faith in response to the arguments that you're hearing on college campus was widespread and increasing in number. And so I decided, it's because I love students. I've taught them for 30 years and a heart for them. And I realized that they were just prepared. So that's why I wrote this book, The Students in the Lion's Den, because to help parents of their teenagers and the teenagers themselves and their pastors and those who work with them to help them realize how they can prepare their students better for the college experience, because most of it's not ready.
Can you go ahead and tell us one or two examples of objections that these, you know, atheistic professors are able to, you know, influence Christians or professing Christians, you know, saying this is why you should give up your faith?
Well, many of them, especially the Marxist professors, argue through the idea of a twisted view of humanitarianism. There are two different tracks. One is humanitarianism, and they present their points of view as the truly humanitarian view, and therefore Christianity, which presumably offers a humanitarian view, should come along and should understand that we really share the same value. And the Christian student is confused because they think, well, yes, it is a humanitarian religion, but that's not the point. The point is about our faith and of salvation, redemptive history. And they have deftly, they're very, very good at obscuring the real purpose of what they are saying and how they can say it. And so it confuses the student. They think, well, maybe we're on the same vibe, and they're not. They're on very, very different channels, but they don't know that. Another approach, too.
Can you give a specific thing? Like, in other words, that the Marxists are the ones in the world that are doing so much great work in helping to lift up and, you know, including to expand human flourishing. Is there a square inch on the planet where Marxism has helped anybody, literally, other than those in charge?
Right, right. Well, they haven't. Marxism and socialism has been a disaster wherever it's been in power. But the problem is that they don't know that. Believe it or not, they don't know that. And what they are told is that in socialism, in fact, they talk about socialism as helping people, that we're all equal, and that and they emphasize the theme of we're one. And we want to live in peace, and the best way to accomplish that is not through the competition of capitalism, which results in all sorts of corruption and crime, et cetera, et cetera. Instead, it's a coming together of a unified purpose, and so that we make diversity into a unifying, and it sounds really, if you listen to them, it sounds like a very peaceful approach. But what they, and the redistribution of wealth is portrayed as a way of helping the poor who have had a hard time in life, and all the penalties of experience in their life have accumulated to a point of poverty in their lives, and they're struggling, or they're raised in a family with terrible parents, and so they're living a criminal life, and socialism is designed to help bring them together and and give them a kind of equal footing as those who have had a much better upbringing. And from the sound of it, it sounds like a very positive thing to do to an idealist. And most students there are idealists, and so it sounds good to them, but it is treacherous, because what they're really saying is that that the world is not equal, and therefore they emphasize equal outcomes, not equal opportunities, and that's a key difference, and they don't understand that. And when the students are relating it to their own faith, they think, well, yeah, my faith does support that sort of thing, and they get sucked in, and then pretty soon the atheistic content begins to slip in. The Marxist approach is very clever, because they approach the students from a point of view of their idealism that identifies important issues like peace and diversity and unity and equal outcomes, which to them is sounds like equality. And so they're sucked in that way, and then they begin to introduce the atheistic context, and they have no answer for that. And in fact, they are often swept up into it because they think this is initially okay, it fits for my faith. But when the atheistic context comes in, that's when they begin to really crumble, because they don't know how to respond to that. And many of them give up and just give in. And that's partly because they are largely ignorant of Scripture. Most of them know very little of Scripture, actually. Some of them are not even actually, they may have spent their entire youth in church, but they never really committed to Christ. Some of them did, but they only know the very, very basics. You know, some might even ask, why is it important to know the details if you know enough about how to be saved to lead others to Christ? But the Bible is more than merely the history of the Jews or a biography of the life of Christ. It's God's voice revealing his love for us, which is the whole point of redemptive history in leading us to the foot of the cross, his incomparable gift of salvation. That's the key. But the idea that Scripture is much more than that. It's the principal source of divine wisdom that provides guidance for living the Christian life. Trying to figure that out on your own and how to live in a way that's pleasing to God is like assembling a thick-built, radio-controlled model airplane without an instruction manual. It would be frustrating and frankly impossible. And yet that's essentially how many Christian students try to live their lives when they rarely open the Bible and rarely hear from it, except for Sundays when they go to church and they hear the pastor speak. So they are abysmally ignorant of Scripture, and that makes them ultimately vulnerable, because they can't have the discernment when they enter into the classroom of what the professor is saying and whether it really comports with what they really truly say they believe and what doesn't. And it's done in a very clever fashion. Now, there are some.
Now, we are literally, there's about 20 seconds left for this segment. I would love to have you back on, and we can get into more of the specifics of how they're sweeping, they being atheistic-type professors, so sweeping away professing Christians, students. This book that you've just recently written is called In the Lion's Den by Dr. Gary Lovejoy, whom we've been talking with. His website is heartswithpromise.com. Dr. Lovejoy, we've got to have you back on, and maybe we can just deal with, you know, like five top objections or something like that, that atheist professors try to trip up Christian students with, and frankly lead them astray. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you so much.